Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Well, this morning we're going to continue with our series, The Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if you're aware, but this series is part of what I call the Dominion Trilogy. The Dominion Trilogy is a set of about three different series. I just started with the first set. Do you understand? But we have entered a Dominion Trilogy. So let me tell you where it's coming from. 1 John 5:7-8. And there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and these three are one. The Bible says, these three bear witness where? In heaven. Have you ever seen a problem in heaven? The last time there was a problem in heaven, it didn't even last a second. It was cleared. Where these three are, there's dominion. Where these three are, the will of God is perfected. But the Bible is specific to say that these three are only doing this way in heaven. Even Jesus says, let your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Because there it is already done. And in heaven, these three bear witness. And because the three of them are bearing witness, the will of God is perfected. Everything is seamless. But now, verse 8 is where our talk is starting. The Bible says, and there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Are you with me? The Bible says, and these three agree as one. So, if the other three that bear witness in heaven have managed to secure everything there, whenever they go together, let us do this, it works. Let us do this, it works. They are forever in control. God is saying, for you to experience what we are experiencing up there, down here, you also need these three. Number one, the Spirit, the anointing. Number two, the water, the Word of God. Number three, the blood of Jesus. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So I have started the Dominion Trilogy. That for you to understand, why am I talking about Dominion Trilogy? Because this is dominion with three. Or dominion by three. So we have started now in April with the first of the three, which is the Spirit. Next month, by the grace of God, we're going to enter the water, which is the Word. And then June, by the grace of God, we're now going to touch base with the blood of Jesus, so that you can have the Dominion Trilogy fully established. Hallelujah. Now, it's interesting to know in the book of Matthew 18, verse 16, the Bible says, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Jesus started by saying, if he will not hear, if he will not hear. There are problems that they don't want to hear. You are saying this, they are not hearing. You are saying this, they are demons. They are evil powers that don't want to hear when you are using this one. Sometimes he says that, you know, you need to take two, or at least take the three. Because some of us, there and there, you are using a bit of the word, there and there, a bit of the blood of Jesus, there and there, a bit of the spirit. But you're going to learn now that, you know, these three can become one. Now you can take all three, and in the word of two or three witnesses, that thing that you want will be established by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So welcome once again to the Dominion Trilogy. We are on the part one of it. The Holy Spirit. Amen. And we are now in message three of the part one of the Dominion. Do you understand? Okay. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, last week I showed you what is communion. Just a quick recap. Fellowship, companionship, partnership, friendship, relationship, and participation. We also saw last week, Jesus said in John 16, verse 7 to 8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, you will agree with me. A helper is there to help. But for him to help, there must be fellowship, partnership. They are there to help you. But imagine you have a helper. When you wake up in the morning, you don't tell them what they should do. You don't give them any information of what should happen. How can they help you? So even though they are the helper, the Holy Ghost is the helper, but with a capital H. But there are helpers in your life with small H. Even those ones require a level of partnership for you to be able to get the most of the help they want to provide you with. The helper is in your house, you don't talk to them, or you talk to them in a bad way. You are always insulting the helper, you are always ignoring the helper, you are always despising the helper, you are always mistreating the helper. Your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. How much more the helper with the capital H now? So that's why we need companionship, partnership, so that his help can reach us nicely. Now, don't behave as an orphan. Last week I showed you that when you don't engage the helper, you are basically like an orphan. An orphan is hopeless and helpless. You are not an orphan in the name of Jesus. This morning, for the time I have, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and you. The Holy Spirit and you. The Holy Spirit and you. Do you understand? Like, now let's take it a bit closer. How do I flow with the Holy Spirit? I'm very much moved by a statement by King David, which I think I read last week. I think if you and I can understand the depth of this prayer, this prayer by King David expresses his understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit in his life. Because he's here saying in Psalm 51 verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. What a prayer. Please understand that David could have said, please, do not take the throne. You know, I work hard. I push a lot. Please, have mercy. Don't take the throne. Okay, take Abigail, take this other wife, then leave these three. I mean, don't take all of them. Okay, the children, take this one and leave Absalom for me. I mean, Solomon and Absalom. Like, he could have said, do not take this, do not take this, do not take this. Which is where our eyes usually is. We are more into all these material things. Like, when you see calamity coming, you can, hey, do not take my bank card. Hey, do not take this. Hey, do not take this. Do not take this. We are more into those things. But this is a king of an entire nation. He knows that based on what he did, a judgment is coming against him. But his only concern is, please, do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Meaning you can take away everything else. I don't mind. I actually don't mind. Take everything else, but do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Why did David pray this prayer? Because David knew what the Holy Spirit is doing for him. David came to understand the job of the Holy Spirit. He realized who the Holy Spirit is. And that is very unusual because we only came to know who the Holy Ghost really is in the New Testament. But here is David praying a prayer and he's not saying, do not take my gold, do not take my temple, do not take my house, do not take my horses, do not take the Holy Spirit. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So I'm teaching about the Holy Spirit and you. And I believe that, and I'm hoping that you and I will come to the place David got to where he actually understood, who is this person? What do they do in my life? Praise the Lord. Now, there are general effects or general understanding of what the Holy Ghost does in our lives. One of them, most of you know that the Holy Spirit helps you speak in tongues. And unfortunately, it seems like that's what most people think he does. Do you understand? It's like his influence in their lives limits itself at the tongue level. It seems like beyond tongues, there's nothing the Holy Ghost can do. Now, where are we getting this understanding? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Bible says they were all filled. Nobody was left behind. Nobody was left behind. Brothers and sisters, the will of God is that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you care about that? Is that something, like in your Christian life, is that something that matters to you, that you should be filled with the Holy Spirit? Even further, they all began to speak with other tongues. How common it is to enter a church and to find out only this one, and this one, and this one speak in tongues. This one, and this one don't speak in tongues. They don't believe in tongues. They don't talk about tongues. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they were all speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Brother, if the Holy Ghost has really entered you, if you really have the Holy Spirit, then you should be speaking in tongues. I do not understand why you say, no, my Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. It's one of the number one proofs that the Holy Ghost has arrived. When the helicopter arrives somewhere, I don't think you need to ask yourself, the noise that he's making and the dust that he's lifting is a clear proof that this is not a plane, just this is a helicopter. So when the Holy Ghost lands on a person in the New Testament dispensation, the first sign, you speak in tongues. You have to speak in tongues. And I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice this morning that Satan has disconnected you from this great blessing. That is, do you know that there are times I thank God for tongues? My prayer is, Lord, thank you for the grace of speaking in tongues. Now, I'm just grateful that God gave us this gift called tongues. You know, I'm so thankful to him that I have this treasure. And the treasure is called tongues. I can just start. And things start happening. Don't miss next week. Next week you'll understand a bit more why we speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Because you need to have dominion. And one of the forces of dominion is the spirit. People that don't speak in tongues will not have dominion. Like, you will not command much. You will not command much. In fact, the less you speak in tongues, the less dominion you have, the less control you have. The less control you have. So that's just the way it is. This gospel has spread in all the nations because of what happened at Azusa Street. In the 1900s, when the Holy Ghost came and fell on William Seymour, and William Seymour started teaching about the Holy Spirit, and Charles Pelham and all this other guy came, and the Holy, like the work that God did before that time, and the work God has been able to do from that time till date, is day and night. Sorry, it's day and night. It's day and night. What am I trying to say? A person with the Holy Spirit will do 10 times more than a person without the Holy Spirit. And a person with the Holy Spirit who speaks in tongues, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, will achieve 10 times more than a person who has the Holy Spirit but doesn't speak in tongues. No wonder Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And he wrote, more than everybody else, because he speaks in tongues more than everybody else. So he has dominion, because that's one of the ways through which we dominate, through the words we speak. God said, let there be light. And God has given you his language, which is the language of tongues. When you are speaking in tongues, the Bible says you are speaking mysteries. You are speaking to God. You are speaking things that don't exist. You are bringing them to be. So that's how you dominate your environment. You bring in things that you yourself don't know where they're coming from. It's one of the ways through which we dominate. Through the Spirit. Speaking in tongues. Because language was given to man for dominion. Animals don't speak. They communicate, but they don't speak like we do. Are you with me? Oh, yes. Are you blessed so far? So the reality I'm trying to bring across to you is that, yes, the first effect of the presence of the Holy Spirit should be speaking in tongues. It should be. Yeah. I don't want you to be confused about it. And if you can't speak in tongues, we will help you. We will help you, because you should speak in tongues. The Bible is clear about it. These are the signs that the full of those that believe in my name, they will speak with new tongues. If you believe in Jesus, you should speak with new tongues. What is the problem? It doesn't say that they will have the Holy Ghost. He said they will speak with new tongues. If they believe in Jesus, they will speak with new tongues. Are you speaking with new tongues? So are you a believer? What's the problem? The Bible says that if you believe in me, these are the signs that will follow those who believe. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. Oh, am I lying? Is that not what the Bible says? They said they speak in other tongues. It says so. But now, there are greater effects of the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. And this is where those who speak in other tongues, usually they start now missing it, because they make it like this is all the Holy Ghost can do in your life. I just want to remind you that the Holy Ghost was upon. This is David saying, take not the Holy Spirit away from me. But I never hear that David spoke in tongues. Yet he dominated the whole nation, killed a giant, did all kinds of things by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has other influences. There are other things that he does when he is with you, or when he is in you. In fact, can I suggest something to you? That's why he wants to be in you. That's why God, Jesus says, he will be in you. Because you influence a person better when you are inside than when you are around or just nearby. Even devils want to go in you. Demons want to enter you. The Bible says, and Satan entered Judas. And from the moment Satan entered Judas, no, Judas went to a whole new level of betrayal. I mean, everything changed. Peter is saying to Sapphira and Ananias, how has Satan so filled your heart? Like Satan is fooling you right now. You are full of Satan. And look at the result. You lying. The Bible says that he's the father of lies. So if he has filled your heart, you will represent him well through powerful lies. Are you with me so far, people of God? I'm trying to show you that one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit comes to live in you is not just to make you speak in tongues. It's to influence you. It's to affect you from within. It's to affect you from within. All the pills that we give you when you are sick, they must enter. Have you ever, the doctor gives you the pills. You hold the pills. As I'm holding these pills, I'm healed. You have the pills. You are holding the pills. You are not healed. Why? Because the pills must enter you. Once they enter, they start working. You don't need to say to the pill, as you are entering, the pain is here on this side or the pain is this side. You just swallow the pill and you are quiet. The pill starts figuring out itself that here, I must go this. The Holy Ghost doesn't need you to talk much. He just needs you to let him enter. Once he is inside, he starts doing the work. Once you let him inside. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So the greatest effect, I don't undermine in any way the tongues, but in my personal opinion, the greatest effect of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is called change. Transformation. That's the greatest, that's the epitome of his work. When his work in a person is resulting in a change, a transformation. So Samuel, who apart from David, Samuel is the next person who understood the Holy Spirit better than any. Samuel and David understood the Holy Ghost better than Adam, better than Noah, better than Isaiah, better than Jeremiah. All these guys put together, take all of them, put them in one place. Take Samuel and David, put in another place. Because these two guys understood the Holy Ghost. Listen to Samuel telling Saul what the Holy Ghost is going to do for him. He says to him, you see, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. And you will prophesy. Meaning you speak in other tongues. That's the vocaling power of it. Like you're going to spara, bara, 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 bara. You're prophesying. But he says something else. The next effect, the next work, he says, you will be changed into a different person. A different person, meaning if your mama sees you, she will not recognize that this is the boy I brought into this world. If it's not for the face that is still the same. If your papa sees you, he will not recognize that this is the child I brought into this world. You will be changed into a different person. Meaning the person you are now and the person you're going to become by the time the Holy Ghost is done is day and night. It's like this is like nobody understands what's going on here. That's the actual work of the Holy Spirit. Why am I saying this to you? Because God is, and He still is, in the business of changing people. That's what God does. God is the unchanging changer. He is changing people. Jeremiah 18, 3 to 6. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seems best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands. Jeremiah went to the potter and found the potter was trying to make a clay, a jar, and then maybe something happened. Then he changed. He said, oh, I'm no more making this. I'm going to start. He changed the whole design. And then God is saying, can't I do the same with you guys? Can't I take you and change your form, change your shape, transform you into something else? Then he says, like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, O Israel. Or so are you in my hands, O Pascal. So are you in my hands, O TD. So are you in my hands, O Dumelo. So are you in my hands. I can reshape you. And what is the agency that God uses to reshape people? Jesus told Peter, follow me, I'll shape you. You'll not remain the way you are. Why? Because God loves you the way you are. But God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Do you understand? Like, he loves you. You can come the way you are. But when he starts, his love is too much that he cannot leave you the way you are. So he said, come just as you are. Start following me. But as you start following me, I'm going to make you, I'm going to shape you into something else. Are you with me so far? Are you with me so far? Why is God in the business of changing us? Because only God can change you. Look, you cannot change you. Like you hear that. I'm talking about you who is listening to me right now or watching me right now. You can't change anything about yourself. If you like, say I'm lying that you haven't tried. You haven't tried to stop doing this. You haven't tried. You haven't told yourself, no, I think from today, I'm done. I'm not. God changes us because we can't help us. We can't change ourselves. No one can change themselves. You can't. You can't. Paul is saying here in Romans 7 verse 8, 15, I do not understand what I do. I don't understand myself. I don't understand what's going on with me. What I want to do, I do not do it. Do you get it? But what I don't want to do, that's actually where I'm going free. I'm just flowing there. I don't understand myself. I don't know what's going on with me. You continue saying you can change yourself. Paul is saying you can't. Like he even decides, you know, from today, I'm stopping this. Wow. By the time he opened his eyes, he's in the third bottle. And he asks him, hey, I think I said something this morning. Hey, I said I was not going to do it again. Third bottle. In the verse 24 and 25, say, what a wretched man I am. I mean, what a miserable man. Then he asks a question, who will rescue me from this body? Like, who can help me? Because Paul has come to realize he can't help himself. Maybe he's going to reach you. You're going to reach to that conclusion one day. I think I can't help myself. I can't do this. But verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ. Like it is through Jesus that I am delivered. And Jesus says in John 16, 17, it is advantageous that I, Jesus, go away. Because if I go away, I will send a helper. He is the one who will do that job. He is the one who will actually. So Paul says it's Jesus. Jesus says, yeah. But I do it through the Holy Spirit. That's why I say it is advantageous for you that I go away. If I go away, me, I cannot enter you. I can be near you. The Holy Ghost can enter. And when he is inside, he can see exactly what is causing this thing to be doing, going this way. And he can tackle it from within, just like pills. Panadol inside. Amoxicillin inside. Penicillin inside. All these things, you need them inside. You can't be having penicillin, amoxicillin, panadol in your hand and say, Lord, thank you for the pills. I receive my no. God said, thank you for the things, but drink it. Swallow it. So he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to take you through 5 major changes that will happen. Like, there are billions of changes, but there are 5 that I believe that are more like cardinal. Like, if the Holy Ghost is really somewhere, look, one of these things must happen. It's not happened. You know, you need to ask yourself. Because there are some people who thought they had the Holy Ghost, but they had the spirit of the world. First major change, when the Holy Ghost enters you, he will change you from a sinner to a born-again Christian. That's the first change. That's the first change. I hope you realize that you didn't become a born-again Christian by your own will. Like you just decide, I'm stopping to sin. I'm a Christian you don't understand. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's not like that. That's why you went out. You were enjoying this thing. You were busy. You felt this is it. This is what I should do. You didn't see a problem with what you were doing. Yeah. There was nothing wrong with you. Until he started working in your heart. When he worked in your heart, he convicted you that actually you are not such a nice person as you think you are. He said, you know, you are a sinner actually. And that if you continue in this sin, you are going to hell. He said, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. Alone in your room. Nobody is. He said, Jesus, please forgive me. He said, who is making you do that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. John 16 verse 8. The Bible says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. He is the only one who can convict the person that what you are doing is a sin. Look, if you like, go around telling people, you know, this is wrong. You know, this is, they will kill you. They will beat you because they don't understand what you are talking about. And this is the explanation behind fruitless evangelism, fruitless outreaches of people that are going to sinners without the Holy Spirit. You are going to sinners without the Holy Ghost because you think that you know verses. You're going to use your verse. You're going to do. Look, that verse is nothing if the Holy Ghost is not on it. It's nothing. Only the Holy Ghost can convict a person of his sins. Only the Holy Ghost. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. No preacher on earth can do it. That's why he came. He is the only one who can convict the world of sin. And Jesus goes on to say, of sin, because they do not believe in me. They do not believe in me. You see, people don't believe in Jesus. That's why they are sinning. So for people to believe in Jesus and to stop sinning, you need the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. That's why we encourage that you pray for hours for souls before you venture out there. Because otherwise, they will come, enjoy your service, then disappear. You never see them again. They come again, you don't see them again. But because they are not convicted by the Holy Spirit. They are motivated by your words. Some are even attracted by your beauty. The dress you are wearing that day is actually what took them. It's not even what you are saying. The way you did your hair, they say, you know what, I think I can get this person. So as they are there in the chair, they are there for something else. But if the preacher is anointed, if the word is from the throne of grace, as the preacher is preaching, they will forget the hair they saw yesterday during the outreach, and they will start seeing their own sins. when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. You know why you are a Christian today? There is a day the Holy Ghost showed you are a sinner. You didn't think there was something wrong with you. How many of you never saw that? I mean, even if you thought there was something, but you didn't think there's something wrong enough to go to hell. I mean, like, enough or not? No. I am not Hitler. I am not Osama bin Laden. I haven't done these things. I mean, I'm just a regular guy in the regular village here. What are you talking about? Nobody thought that they deserve to go to hell until the Holy Ghost convicted you. So Jesus says in John 3:5-7, he says, Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. What is Jesus saying? Jesus says, for you to be born again, you need two things, the water and the Spirit. You know, the two witnesses, there are three of them. Eh? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Actually, he didn't mention the blood because he had not died yet himself. He's still carrying the blood inside him. But the water is the word. Somebody has to preach the word. But the word without the Spirit will lead to condemnation, to frustration, and to a lot of arguments and a lot of fights. So when the word, which is the water, is preached, combined with the Spirit, that's what brings conviction. And that's what leads to permanent change. That's why you see some people in that church, you know, no matter what you do, they are there. You see, they are arrested by the Spirit. By the Spirit. I see you engaging the Holy Ghost in your evangelistic efforts, and I see you now understanding that you should never try to change anybody. Don't force people. Don't become somebody's personal Holy Ghost that you are going around them. Hey, no, you know, don't do this. Hey, and they say, don't do this. Hey, okay, no, you know, change that. You can't do that. How long are you going to do that? Introduce them to the unchanging changer. Place them in the hands of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost does it, you yourself look back and say, no, I think here, I tried, but I couldn't get it to this level. Second major change, from a nasty person to a nice person. From a nasty person to a nice person. So after you are now born again, you are not nice still. You understand? You are just, because the Bible says that whoever is in Christ, the new creation, all things are passed away. All things, it's the Spirit. Most of what you wear, you are still. So he starts another work of turning you into a nice person. A nice person. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's verse 16. Verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, and drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's not warning unbelievers. He's warning believers. He's telling believers that have already gotten born again, that look at the things that your flesh has now started leading you to doing. Galatians is not, he's talking to believers. So they are born again, but another transformation needs to start. Like you have transformed from a sinner to a saint, but you now need to go from a nasty person. How many of you will agree that a sexually immoral person is a nasty person? An impure person is a nasty person. A witchcraft, a witch is a very nasty, a very, very wicked person. So he's now, after he moved you from a sinner to a born again Christian, he starts another transformation of moving you from a very bad boy to a very good boy. Hallelujah. Amen. Now verse 22, remember verse 16, it tells you this is how you should do it. Verse 19, it shows you the wrong things that you are busy doing that are making you a nasty person. There's verse 22, he introduces how the change is going to happen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passion. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So how are you going to move from this nasty, all those things, to these good things? Live by the Spirit. So it is the influence of the Holy Spirit that is going to turn you into not only a lustful person, but a loving person. It is the Holy Ghost that starts working inside a believer to move him from a very impatient person, because you are born again, but you are still impatient. Yes, you are born again, but you are still full of jealousy. Yes, you are born again, but you are still full of anger. Yes, you are born again, but you are still full of all these things. So the Holy Ghost starts another transformation in moving you from this lustful brother. Every time you see a sister in the worship team, your things start, you know, and so he said, no, you know what? We need to control this. So the Holy Ghost brings self-control. Self-control. So yes, some of us are speaking in tongues, but that is just the fair level of transformation. He wants to gravitate you to a character change, where you are really becoming another person. You are no more this person that every time you see a new car, you become jealous, you become envious. You know how to say, oh, God bless you, I'm so happy for you, I thank God for your life, because God has changed your heart. The Holy Ghost has changed you. He has changed you. How many believers have refused this second level of transformation? When they get home, the children run away because of anger. Hey, they are born again, but they are a serial fornicator. Every skirt must be lifted. Be lifted high. Sister, lift it high. Yes, you are born again, brother, but the level of transformation that is needed now is that your mind, he has to renew your mind. He has to work on you, brother. He has to fix you inside. Third level of transformation. You now move from an ordinary person to an anointed person. First of all, you were a sinner. He brought you in the church. After he brought you in the church, he turned you into a very nice person that you have control. You handle yourself well. Now he wants to turn you into a valuable person, a usable person. Wow. So he moves you from just an ordinary church member to a minister. The same person that was just a sinner. It is the same Spirit that got them born again. It is the same Spirit that turned them around. When you gave your life to Jesus, a change must take place, brother. Don't tell me you are born again, but you are saying, you know, there's a song we used to sing years ago. There's a great change since I'm born again. 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 The things I used to do, I do them no more. The place I used to go, I go there no more. The friends I used to have, I have them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. So you cannot say you are born again, the friends are the same, the places are the same, the things are the same, everything is the same, but I'm born again. It's not possible. If you are born again, a change is imminent. And that change goes from sin, sinner to saint, nasty to nice, ordinary to anointed. This is where you are now. You are anointed. The Bible says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you. You haven't allowed the change to continue. You haven't allowed the transformation to go to the next stage. You stop at just being a good Christian that comes to church, that doesn't sin, that doesn't lie, and it's good, but there's a higher level of transformation that the Holy Ghost wants to move you into. And a lot of you are now in that level where the Holy Ghost is saying, look, yes, you are no more fornicating, thank God. Yes, you are no more lying, thank God. But that is not where I want to stop. I want to move you from there to a valuable person, to a battle axe in the hands of the Lord. I want to turn you into a fisher of men. Of what use it is that you have character but you are sitting there? It doesn't benefit anybody. It doesn't benefit anybody. It only benefits you. That's why he says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you still need somebody to teach you. Imagine a teacher who is still looking for somebody to come and teach them. Meanwhile, in the realm of the spirit, you're supposed to be teaching others now. And that is where a lot of you are. According to God's calendar, you've graduated enough to reach the level where you should start doing something for God. And that thing that you want to do for God, or that God wants you to do for Him, will require the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach, to teach, to do this work. It is the Holy Spirit that anoints you and equips you to be able to do what you do. I used to sit in the church just like you before. But today, the Holy Ghost has anointed me to preach the word of God. In the book of Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power. And this power is going to turn you into ministers. You're going to go from city to city, preaching my word. I'm talking to you. God doesn't want you to just change and become a good Christian. God wants you to become an anointed Christian. A Christian with a purpose. A Christian with an assignment. So he says in John 15:16, you did not choose me. I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit may last, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, it may be given to you. This is the third level of transformation by the Holy Ghost. Some of you have entered it. You are now cell leaders. You are now basontal leaders. But we need more cell leaders. We need more people to answer the call of God. My Bible says many are called. Many are called, including you. Including you. Including you. You are called. Don't say, no, I'm not a pastor. Just if the Holy Ghost is in you, by this time, you ought to be a teacher by this time. I hope I'm talking to you today. I say, I hope I'm talking to you today. The fourth level of transformation, from a prisoner to a free person. The Holy Ghost now moves to a whole new level. In this calling He has given you, you will quickly discover that you are still limited by a number of things. And you need freedom. So 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now that you want to work for God, other forces start rising to say, no, you can't go. You belong to us. You have to stay here. You say, no, I gotta go. No, you can't. We have an agreement. You have to be here. Okay, you are born again. Leave it at that level. No. Then you need to now start challenging things that have never happened in your family. Nobody has ever been a preacher in your house. But the word is saying you can become a preacher. Nobody has ever driven a car in your house. But the word is saying you can have a car. So you now need to, because for you to go and preach this gospel, you're going to need a car. You're going to need a lot of things. And when you start attempting for those, and then some forces say, hey, what are you trying to do? Where are you going? Now the word says you shouldn't live in fornication, so now you need to get married so that the word that you are preaching can match what you are saying. But then in your family, it seems like nobody is supposed to get married. Now you're having a problem because nobody has gotten married in this family, and the forces are saying no marriage. Now you need freedom. You now need freedom. That's why working for God will always cause you to discover things that were set in your family and that you were never supposed to know had you not started working for God. It is the work of God that reveals ancestral powers. It is the work of God that better helps you realize the forces that are working in the family. Because you can be oppressed even though you are born again. A woman was 18 years in the church with spirits inside her. It is the more you want to press into the mark of the high calling that you start discovering that some forces were there all along and they have no intention of letting you go. And that's where the desire to freedom comes in. And that's where the anointing that breaks the yoke becomes very important. So Jesus is saying in Matthew 12 verse 28, but if by the Spirit of God I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The Holy Ghost is not just to speak in tongues, to preach, it's to also drive out demons. Acts 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day that his yoke shall be taken away from your shoulders and his burden from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Then you enter a whole new dimension where you can see clearly, this is where I want to go, but there are forces saying you can't go there. This is where you start confronting the witchcraft in your family. This is where you become an authority. This is where you realize that, hey, Christianity is not just sweets and chocolate. There's more to it. There's way more to it. This is where you realize your family is not as nice as you thought it was. You love your family and your family loves you, but the forces behind the scene are not so much Christian. And that's where you need the anointing that destroys the yoke. And that anointing is going to turn you from an ordinary person that is just an ordinary Christian into a very powerful and dangerous person. Person that can break yokes, destroy forces that were in the family for hundreds of years. Don't miss the series on the blood, because that's where you need the spirit, you need the word, and you need the blood. Those three, once they come together, I tell you, they will blast anything on your way. Stand on your feet and start thanking God this morning. Come on, just begin to thank him right now for the transformation he has brought thus far. I don't know how far in the transformations are you. Are you in stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, or are you now beginning to attempt to enter stage 4? Somebody just thank God for where you are, but thank him furthermore for where he wants to take you. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, do your mighty work in my life. Holy Spirit, do your mighty work in my life. I choose to move to a whole new level. I choose to move to a whole new level of transformation. I want my life to transform again. I'm no more a sinner, I'm a saint. Yes, but I want to move from a nasty to a nice. And I want to move from ordinary to extraordinary. Oh, Rabanderebas Sebre Gandarebandaraba. Shindere Mandora Magele Mandarebe. Are you praying? That the anointing of the Holy Ghost should not catapult you into the actual calling of God for your life. That you shouldn't remain just an ordinary minister, an ordinary shepherd, an ordinary cell leader, an ordinary pastor. No. There are anointings that are waiting for you. And those anointings will silence the voice of the accuser. They will silence the voice of the opposition. that is working against your life. I give you praise. I give you praise, my Jesus. I give you praise, my Jesus. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. And when you know the truth, there's freedom. And this morning, a lot of truth have been communicated to you by the Holy Ghost. And I believe you are entering your season of freedom. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, yandarabele mashendere balagondora manderebe. Lima tovele mashandore palamanda. Holy Ghost, now go through the airwaves and start confronting by your power and by your spirit forces of darkness that have oppressed your people, that have oppressed your ministers. Oh, the Bible says that Naaman was a commander, but he was a leper. It is possible to be in a position of power, but to still have a weakness, to have something that is embarrassing your efforts. Father, those forces of darkness that turns us into leprous generals, fornicating generals, poor generals, limited generals. Father, I pray this morning, by the anointing, let an end come to the oppression. Let an end come to the oppression. Blast open our minds, Lord. Get us out of our comfort zone. A lot of us have become relaxed, thinking we are there. And the forces of darkness are just rejoicing that we are no more challenging them. But by the anointing that has come this morning, every limitation is broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I honor your name forevermore. I bless your name forevermore. I give thanks and praise to your name forevermore. You who began this good work in us, you will bring it to completion by your power. Thank you, Jesus. Well, precious people, if you are listening or you are watching this morning, you are not born again, I would like to lead you in a prayer that will help you to commit your life to Jesus. You say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. You know what you are feeling in your heart right now? It's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God is touching your heart. Don't resist. Don't harden your heart. Don't push it to tomorrow. Don't say, I'll do it next week. Next week might not be your portion. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, neither the hour. So I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. To enter the first dimension of transformation by the Holy Ghost. And the other dimensions will follow. At the count of three, please raise your right hand and say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Oh, yes. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Now, I want to pray for a number of you, because by the time you are watching this video, I'm no more on earth. But the words that I've spoken to you this morning are still as powerful as when I was here on earth. Now, you're going to say this prayer with me from the depths of your heart. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin. To serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.